You are listening to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Rosie Davidson, an infant sleep consultant, author, and mum of three. This is a show all about honest chat where I talk about my favourite topic, sleep, of course, but I will also be covering your burning parenting questions and speak to some very special guests along the way. So buckle up and enjoy! Hello and welcome to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. This episode, I'm joined by a special guest and former client of mine, Toby Isare, otherwise known as My Bump Pay on Instagram. Toby is an author, speaker and founder of My Bump Pay, an online platform to help women smash the glass ceiling with a baby on the way and beyond. As well as running My Bump Pay, Toby is now a director on the board of one of the UK's largest media companies. She recently received an award from the Prime Minister Boris Johnson for her work helping women in the workplace. She's also written a book called The Blend, How to Successfully Manage a Career and a Family. Toby's mission is to help women everywhere feel confident about their career, life goals and motherhood, all whilst raising her two children and a board level role. Welcome, Toby.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Hi, Rosie. It's so cool to be on your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. I can't wait to share your insights on the delicate dance of juggling motherhood and work.
I love that phrase, delicate dance. That's exactly what it is.
It really is. So let's kick off with a bit more about you. What inspired you to create My Bump Pay on Instagram? And what were your intentions behind it?
Gosh, such a good question. I now look back at that time and I almost don't recognize the person that started all of this because so much has happened since then. But it was 2017. I was pregnant with my son. I was the first person in that office location to go on this journey of maternity leave within that organization in the London office. And I had all these thoughts swirling around my head and big questions. And I had big ambitions. So I remember talking to all my friends about, you know, this big change that was happening, but the fact that I felt like the first one and I was learning all of this on the go and I had all the facts at my fingertips, but I just felt like there was so much more that I really wanted to understand. Like I really wanted to understand exactly how women push on and grow their careers at the same time. I really wanted to understand the money and the facts and the figures behind this whole huge landscape because I felt that if I had more information at my fingertips, I could make more empowered, longer term decisions. So the ideas were swirling in my head in 2017, had my son 2017, and then in 2018, whilst on maternity leave, I had this bonkers idea of why not just do something. And the whole idea was really based around a website initially. So put lots of work in, found a web designer, put the website all together. And so social media actually didn't come until a little bit later in 2018. And that's why My Bump Pay was birthed. And it is what it is kind of today. It's kind of evolved quite a lot ever since. And I'm actually toying with the whole idea of changing the name of My Bump Pay.
Why are you thinking about changing it?
Just because initially it started all around money, and obviously money is a really important and powerful lever, but it's so much more than that now. It's careers, it's life, it's goals, it's investing in your best self, all whilst growing a family at the same time.
I really love your page, and I think you're about way more than the money side and the work side as well, actually, because I love the information you share about your children and also your fashion.
Oh, thank
honestly,
you.
I find your fashion and working out. Like you just create this lovely vibe about having a balance and juggling it all. And you do seem to make it look not necessarily effortless, but you do make it seem achievable, which I really like.
In a way, it is achievable. In a way, it's not achievable. And I hope that I really do my best to show the many different sides of it, the good, the bad, the tough. And I love how it's evolved in the sense that I love that we're able to, as mothers, not necessarily define ourselves by one thing, be it work or be it home or be it children. I think there are so many facets to our identity. And that's why I love doing what I do. And I love, you know, even being part of your community as well, because yours is quite similar in a way, even though it's very much grounded in sleep. But sleep, let's face it, is almost like the center of everything. So yeah, I really do love that we have the space as women, as parents, as not parents, as carers, like however you want to identify yourself as, it doesn't really matter. I think it's a space to embrace who you are and what you love, irrespective of your life stage.
And help and support other people. I think that's what both of our platforms are around, you know, giving people practical tips and relatable content around how we balance being parents and having a job and a career.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not easy.
No, it's really not. Balancing motherhood and work can feel really overwhelming at times. What are some of the biggest challenges you face and how have you overcome them?
I would say the challenges still continue. But I think some of the biggest challenges I face are definitely around confidence. And I don't think that's necessarily particular to me. My confidence, I think, really evolves in, or should I say it ebbs and flows. There are moments where I am full of confidence and I seize that moment and I just go for it. And there are other moments where there is just this thing, be it a voice in my head, be it myself, holding myself back from a moment that I know that I'm very, very much worthy of being in that moment or worthy of having a space in that moment. But for whatever reason, I feel like for various different reasons, I don't feel like I'm able to make the most of that moment. And I think that has been something that I've definitely found challenging throughout my life, but even more so as a mum for various different reasons. And there's lots of studies that kind of show that motherhood does definitely impact your confidence, even up to kind of 2 years after having a baby and even beyond in some cases. And so I guess in terms of overcoming them, I've tried lots of different things. I have worked with mentors. I've worked with sponsors. I am now actually working with, I guess, a leadership coach that I'm really fortunate the work has supplied me with. And I think the key to that, or the key to finding a way to overcome an issue like confidence, is to almost confront it in the first place. And it's quite hard, I think, especially if you hold a role in the workplace or you're just coming back to work. You don't want anybody to necessarily know that you're struggling with confidence, because you want people to feel like you've got it all together. And I know for me, especially holding a senior role, sometimes it can be quite hard to confront those issues of confidence and tell other people that, you know what, I actually do find this challenging at times. But the key to overcoming it, for me at least, has been to be very, very, very honest with the right people, with trusted people, and to say exactly how I've just told you. You know, in moments I'm full of confidence and there are other moments where I really do struggle with it. And so having a coach for me at the moment, as this leadership coach, has been, she's been phenomenal. She's just been able to give me the perspective and challenges and exercises to help me overcome some of those things as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. You've been so supported. I think a lot of people go back to work and worry that they almost have to pretend that nothing's changed and that they're almost not a parent. They're maybe scared to even talk about it. And I know that some of the corporate work I've been doing with corporates who are looking to support their staff with sleep, one of the things that parents really appreciate from their employer is even just the space to acknowledge that they might be tired and they might be juggling, picking up children, children are sick. You know, there's all these things that happen, and just even having the space to be able to discuss that before you even get started on actual solutions is so valuable that staff feel it's an open field and they can talk about it.
It's so powerful. And you and I both do these similar kind of corporate sessions from slightly different perspectives. And quite recently, I had the opportunity at work to join one of these sessions as a participant, which I found quite interesting because I also kind of deliver similar but slightly different sessions. But even as somebody who's in this space and talks about it all the time, even for me to just have that moment where I was listening to or had the space to hear from other parents their various different challenges, all of a sudden I reminded myself again, I'm not alone. And just that power in hearing that and having that space, that really open and safe space to have those conversations in a corporate setting, you can't underestimate how valuable that is.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you a bit about was guilt. I think a lot of parents struggle with guilt when it comes to dividing their time between their work and their family. Is that something you've experienced, and have you overcome feelings of guilt in your own life?
I definitely have experienced feelings of guilt, especially at the beginning. I found that quite hard because I knew I wanted to come back to work. There was part of me that was actually quite excited to come back to work.
Yeah.
However, it didn't remove in those early days this feeling of just feeling like I wasn't necessarily doing anything well. So I felt that when I was at home, I didn't really feel that I was really in that moment. And when I was at work, I didn't necessarily feel like I was able to give it everything because I was still struggling with these challenges of confidence. And so at the beginning, it was really tough. I think as my children have gotten older, I think I've been able to take them on the journey and they've been able to see the journey and appreciate the journey a lot more. I've recently had a tiny bit of time away from home and I felt fine. And I think what helped is that my children have started to understand this is part of what I do. This is part of how our household runs. Like, they still have a very loving parent in their dad and they have very present grandparents and aunties and uncles. So that love doesn't go away just because I'm not present in the home. And if anything, sometimes they'll be to me, aren't you late to go to work, mummy? Like, they're chasing me out of the house. So I love that. And also, upon reflection, I think society does a wonderful job of making us feel guilty for absolutely no reason. I mean, lots of people say this, that there's no such thing as dad guilt, which we have to remind ourselves of, that there is this title or sometimes this feeling that, you know, in order to be a good parent, you must feel guilty about your choices. And I think that's nonsense. I think we all make the best choices with the resources that we have. And I think for that, actually, we should be celebrated rather than made to feel guilty.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I went away for a few different weekends, not work related, actually.
I love that.
with friends. And some people are quite surprised. They're like, who's got the kids? Well, my husband.
Yeah. The other person who made them.
Honestly. Yeah, he went away for a weekend. I don't think anyone would have ever asked him who had the kids.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? And I feel the better we are as parents, as partners and women, the better we are for our children, the better examples we set for them, because we're setting an example of you can still be there for your family in a very, very, very loving way, but you can shape and create your own destiny and do the things that you still love, albeit maybe in a slightly different way, so that when they step into parenthood, if they choose to do that, or they step into their careers, they can go out building lives that they're really purposeful about and intentful about and do things that genuinely make them happy, because this is not a dress rehearsal. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. My daughter actually said to me today, Mummy, I'm starting a business.
Oh, she's 7.
I was like, yes, that's amazing. What's your business? She said, oh, I'm selling these slinkies that I'm designing. But anyway, I mean, it's a cute idea, but I love the fact that they're talking about things like this.
Great.
And the way that my daughters talk about things they can do in the future and potential jobs they might have, I absolutely love it. And I know that part of that, or huge part of that, is role modeling from me, what I do, and knowing that they can do anything they want to do as long as they're prepared to put the work in.
Yeah, I absolutely, absolutely love that. That just makes me so excited about the role modeling, like you said, the future that our children have, because they're seeing more options and your options aren't limited by your gender or your ethnicity or any of those things. I absolutely love that.
I wanted to ask you about how you think the pandemic reshaped the way we work and parent. I like to think that the landscape is maybe changing a little bit and maybe the pandemic kind of prompted some more flexibility. But do you think it has impacted it, and has it impacted you and your work balance, life, family balance?
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden through the pandemic, what we had was a window into people's lives a little bit more and understanding what it really took to kind of keep things going, especially with people homeschooling, etc., and kind of working from home. And all of a sudden we had the corporate world come to this realization that work can be quite effective no matter where the work has taken place. And now I am absolutely one for, I love FaceTime, but I also love and crave the flexibility in what I do, because it means that, you know, if there's a day that I need to be at home because there's certain things happening with the children, I can make that happen. And there's less kind of explaining and, you know, storytelling kind of going behind, you know, having the, I guess, the space to have that conversation about flexibility. So in one way, that is a wonderful thing. I will say that sometimes it makes things quite difficult, because I think in a way we had a structure. I'm not saying that structure worked at all. I think that structure was massively broken, but I think we had the structure of majority kind of going into work. I know in our setup, it has sometimes made it a little bit tricky. And I think it's probably because of the nature of the work that I do, that we have to look at the week, almost week to week, and say, right, who's here on that day? Who's not here on that day? Who's doing pickup on that day? Who's in? And my husband does an awful lot. And he's had to be really flexible with how he does things. And I've had to be really flexible with how I do things. The benefit is that we've had this pandemic, which means we have this flexibility, which is amazing. But sometimes, well, maybe it's just particular to us, we maybe have a little bit less structure. And I do see that in some people's routines, whereby it's not kind of all or nothing. It's like this blend and this hybrid, which is wonderful. But sometimes it does take a little bit more planning to make sure that everybody knows where they need to be in the right place, especially if you've got school or nursery or childminding. But overall, it's wonderful. And it's wonderful that we're getting new legislation that flexible working will be on automatic day one right of request, rather than having to wait. You used to have to wait a period of time before you could even request it. And it had to usually be a formal application of sorts. And that is now kind of changing, which is awesome. And it's wonderful. And yeah, I long live for days where we have flexibility for everybody, not just for women, because I think that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, definitely for men as well, and everyone really. I think one of the interesting kind of things about your setup seems to be, and it's quite similar to my husband and I, that you work very much as a team and you're both responsible for many of the aspects of your home. You're very aligned in how you're looking at it. And I think that for a lot of people, it can be quite difficult because they have their career, they have their baby. And while they're on maternity leave, they might be taking on all the mental load, the household stuff. Yeah. And then they go back to work and then they kind of hang on to everything.
Yeah, I think going back to work is that moment. When I do have conversations with people, especially with friends, I say going back to that work is that moment where you really need to evaluate the roles are that you play in your household. And your household might not necessarily be your kind of immediate four walls. It might be your wider support network around you. But it is a moment where you do really need to look at it. I don't advise people to kind of just continue to roll on with how things were before kind of going back to work, because it's a completely different setup and you don't know what things are necessarily going to be like. So you do have to have those conversations and you do have to try different things to see what will work.
Yeah, and I think things like having a conversation with your partner about, okay, if one of the kids is sick, it can't always be me who leaves my work, even if potentially my salary is lower than yours. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Because it impacts my career. So I feel like trying to be as fair as possible, maybe having a conversation before you're in that situation could be helpful.
Yeah. And that question or conversation around salary is interesting, because I don't think a salary necessarily equates to potential and development in your career or joy or satisfaction that you get from your career. So I don't think, listen, we can't escape the fact that money is a huge lever, but I don't think salary can necessarily drive all of our decisions in the household. We've got to look at it as to what is right in that moment, what is right for the two individuals, and what is right for the trajectory, and what's right for the common goals that you have as a household or wider support network.
One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is social media and how a lot of the accounts, certainly that I see, seem to give quite an idealized version of motherhood and career and maybe doing it all. Maybe they don't talk about their nannies. I don't know. But some of these accounts feel like they have perfect lives almost. How do you keep it real on Instagram? And what advice would you give for other mums who are maybe seeing this and they're trying to navigate maybe that pressure, whether that's pressure from themselves or it is external pressure?
It's really hard as somebody who is on Instagram, because I feel that even if there are moments where you're really honest and you're really real with people, maybe about your setup or your struggles, they are moments in time. And Instagram only shows, let's say, 2% of your audience, your content. So there could be a whole another 88% of your audience that actually haven't seen that moment where you've been really real and, you know, you've shared something that might have been quite difficult to share, but gives a real insight into your journey or your situation or your challenges. So that is, I think, really important to remember. We only actually get served a tiny little bit of people's content unless we actually, you know, physically go searching for them and make sure we're kind of all up to date with everything. And then you've got stories that fleet and all sorts of different things, and we are obviously overwhelmed by content nowadays. So I do think it's really important to remember that. You know, I said this, I think we were at the same event, where, you know, I have great days and I have really, really hard days. And on those really hard days, it is really hard for me anyway to show up and say, I had a really hard day. I do definitely do it from time to time, but it's not every single hard day that I come online and say, do you know what, this was really hard. It's not every single hard moment that you share, because you just can't, or you don't feel like it. So it's just remembering that we do all have those really tough days, but also kind of beyond that, I think it's healthy to show a bit of everything, a bit of a balance of everything. And obviously you've got to respect people's privacy. You know, I'm in a family and a relationship, so sometimes those bad days attributed to what's happening in my own, you know, very, very, very personal life, which you won't share, and lots of people don't also share as well. So I think you've got to take what you can, take the good bits of social media that you enjoy, take the people that you kind of relate to, or take the people that give you different and interesting and fresh perspectives, but also remember those people are incredibly, incredibly human as well.
Yes, yes. And they've probably got great childcare.
I have been really open about, you know, writing the book, which I wrote last year, but I work full time and I didn't drop my hours at work to write that book. So the way that I wrote that book was by investing some money into childcare, and that is the extra childcare on top of what we already had, and that is the only way that I could have physically got that book done. And I actually write about it in the book and say, look, the only way that I've been able to actually write this book is to get extra childcare. So sometimes we've got to be really honest with ourselves and understand that we can't have it all. Sometimes being able to do a little bit more requires having extra support to do so.
One of the things that I think you seem to do pretty well, from what I can tell on your Instagram, but as we've said, who knows, it's a highlight. Your work-life balance seems to be pretty good. Have you got any like key strategies or routines that you find really effective in maintaining that balance in your own life?
I will say this, my work-life balance, it ebbs and flows, which is one of the reasons why I love the term the blend. There are moments where like my job can be really full on, like I work in new business and growth and it's really commercial and we're going after new clients. And sometimes there can be days where there are really long hours. But on the flip side, when we are a little bit quieter on the new business front, the hours are great and the lifestyle is really good and my job is really, really fun. So I think I've learned to, when the times require me to really kind of get my head down and focus and get something over the line, I'm there, I'm all in, I'll do what it takes. But I know that around the corner, once that is done, around the corner, I probably have a moment where it's a little bit quieter. So I know that, you know, I'm getting home at a certain time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I make the very best, or I make the most of those moments where I know it's a little bit quieter. And also my husband and I were having this conversation the other night, literally just yesterday, and he said, which I quite liked about what he said that he thinks that I'm quite good at saying no to certain things. I'm not always, but then I do evaluate different choices and options with how I use my time. So if I know I'm saying yes to this new interesting opportunity, I like to say yes quite a lot, but I will actually evaluate, what does that mean? I need to say no to. So I'll do that thing, but it means I need to take something off the calendar, or I need to say to that other person, like, I'm really sorry. Like, I've got to kind of draw this thing to a close because this new opportunity is coming up and it's something that I'd really love to pursue. So I do try and really look at my yeses and my nos and make sure that I'm placing them in the right place. And then lastly, what I will say is, or two things actually, I am now starting to pick up the signs. So I can see the physical signs of where actually I'm overwhelmed and I'm probably edging on burnout. Like, my throat gets really dry. I get really headachy. I feel really lethargic. I just feel like I've got no energy and I've got no spark. And that's where I have to have a moment with myself and just know that something has to change. And then I think I've been in those moments in motherhood where I felt like I haven't been able to recognize myself. And that's a really tough place to be in. And I don't like the version of me when I'm in that place. So I often use that as a reminder. And it reminds me of the times where I wasn't sleeping before I met you and before I had you in my life. And I often think back to myself and I think, I don't ever want to go to that place again. It feels like a very dark place. So I hold on to the things that I know give me so much joy and that I love. So that could be going to the gym, that could be seeing my friends, that could be going for a walk in the sunshine. I really try and hold those things really close to me and make sure that I can still do them in some way.
I find the walking for me recently has made a really big difference. I've been trying to force myself out for movement breaks, even when I've got quite a packed schedule. And it can be tempting because you just open your emails one more time. You're like, oh, there's just this thing. I'll just.
Yeah. And it's so powerful and it's so freeing. And I think my colleagues know me as well. One colleague, she called me recently and she could see I was a bit frazzled. And she actually said to me, have you been for your walk? And I said, no. She's like, right. Shut the laptop, go for your walk. I went for my walk. Anyway, sod's law, I actually left my keys at home. So I locked myself out. So I couldn't I couldn't join my next Zoom meeting, which is probably a sign that I needed to spend more time outdoors in nature anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Just Chill Baby Sleep, their number one infant sleep consultancy in the UK and beyond. We really love sleep and we want you to have all the information that you need about sleep at your fingertips. Our award-winning self-led online courses can banish those bad nights and leave you feeling calm and in control and most of all, well rested. For more information about our online courses and one-to-one support, please go to justchillbabysleep.co.uk. Listeners can also use the code JCPP for 10% off any online course or bundle. So sleep well. So you touched on it a little bit about I helped you when your son was, I think he was around 6 months.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And you were really looking for some support to change your situation, I think. Can you tell me a bit about kind of the impact that it had on your personal and professional life when you sorted out his sleep?
Gosh, I mean, everything, just everything. I remember where I was sitting in our flat at that time and just being so desperate. I'd reached out to a couple of sleep professionals and they hadn't got back to me, which I really didn't understand because I was like, I'm looking to throw money at the problem. I can't believe no one's getting back to me. And I found you via Facebook, I think, and you came back to me almost instantly, which gave me so much relief of just feeling there's somebody here that feels like they can help me. And then from there, you know, we spoke and you actually came to our house, and I was just watching you handle the situation so calmly made me feel like, oh, there is light at the end of the tunnel, because I just didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was on the edge. I think maybe the week before I'd called my mum in tears saying, he just won't sleep. What do I do? Aww. And like I said before, like, sleep is almost it holds everything together. You know, being parents or young parents who have been sleep deprived for 6 months and trying to operate in your lives is just, it's almost impossible. I really commend people who go on for extended period of time with broken sleep. And we were finding it really hard. My husband was already kind of back to work. I wasn't quite back to work at that particular stage. I was still at home. But what you did for us, I think you gave us the confidence that it's possible. Because I think at that point we felt like it just wasn't possible. And once we kind of got the routine and got confidence in the routine, we then found confidence to flex the routine. You know, we even went on holiday, which was amazing. Yeah. I couldn't imagine doing that before, which was amazing. We took our first family holiday, which was really lovely. And then I think effectively, in a way, I always feel like I wouldn't have been able to do my bump pay if we didn't have good sleep foundations, because when I did start working on it, I was working on it during that time. So I was working on it maybe in the afternoon or in the evening, because he would go down at 7 pretty much like clockwork. So it meant I had all this time and I was more rested. I had more kind of clarity of mind, clarity of purpose, clarity of focus. I could actually start creating stuff that had been in my head for a really long time. And then fast forward to our second child, and that was in lockdown when you started your courses. I felt like I had really good foundations, but I just wanted kind of to brush up. And actually, I did that, and pretty much from 4 months onwards, I'd say she actually had quite a good routine, but 4 months onwards, she was pretty much sleeping through. And even this evening, my husband and I were literally just saying, like, Grace is, she's such a good sleeper, but I actually think that's a reflection probably of our confidence the second time round, having had you come the first time round and then have done the online courses the second time round. We felt so much more confident of putting her into a really good routine. And she's quite a bold character, but she knows how to fall in line when it comes to her evening sleep time.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I think it's so inspiring for people who are listening to this to know that there is help out there. And one of the things I've heard you talk about before is about outsourcing things where you can. And obviously, when it comes to sleep, I'd always say for people to reach out and get some help. But, you know, in all areas of our lives, as mothers and as parents, if you can outsource things, and if you have the budget or you find the budget for that, that can be life-changing, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I've come to appreciate about outsourcing is that you can outsource for a season. So I kind of talked about the extra help that we had with the nanny when I was writing the book, and we've scaled that back massively now because it's not sustainable financially. But we do have her ad hoc. So I've noticed that there's a point in the week for us both where we're just really tired, or my job is really social. So they call it kind of Media Thursdays. It's a very active day in the media world calendar. So we have support on a Thursday now, and it's just 3 hours in the evening. But it just means that if I have after work engagements or stuff with my bump pay, it means that the kids are covered. And my husband can also do what he needs to do for his job on a Thursday, for example. So we've had a season where we've had loads of help, and then we're in this season where we've got a lot less help, for example. We've even scaled back our cleaner, for example, to kind of make the sacrifices where we need to as a household. So again, it's just the whole thing of not feeling the pressure like you have to do everything by yourself.
I love thinking about it like that, like a season, because everything is a season in parenthood. And I think when your kids get older, you kind of really see that, and you have good times, bad times, joyous times, difficult times. But in terms of like what you're looking for support wise, it's a really great kind of attitude to have, where it's like, okay, we can budget for a cleaner. We don't have to be budgeting for a cleaner forever, but that might be the thing that really makes an impact in my life right now. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It might be you have just got a promotion and you need, you know, 2 months headspace to kind of find your feet in this new role or new job. It might be that you're going through something as a family, and again, you just need a little bit more space. Is it laundry that's maybe outsourced for a little while? Is it food? Or is it that, you know, you've got a lovely neighbour who's actually offered to say, do you know what, when you do need help, just let me know, take them up on that offer. It doesn't always require spending money. There could be swaps with friends, for example, or it could be, you know, I've done this sometimes where I've got they're not that old now, but my son is six. And if he has a friend over, they can entertain themselves for hours, which means you can kind of get some stuff done in that time and still keep an eye on them. So it's little tricks and things like that that you can, I think not feel shy about exploring to give you a little bit of headspace here and there.
So what top tips would you give to tired parents out there who are listening, who are trying to juggle it all and have a career too?
Gosh, I mean, the first tip I would talk about is sleep, given the nature of what you do. It is so fundamental. I'm not saying that you can't operate in your job with broken sleep, because millions of parents do. But I do think there is a limit and where you have to draw the line and think, right, something has got to change here for the betterment of your family, the betterment of yourself, your well-being, and for the betterment of your career. So I think there are seasons, and I think there are seasons where it's okay to kind of go through that, but then I think you do have to think, right, we need to kind of get some help or support, someone like Rosie in. And you offer so many different ways and tools and tips and tricks, and obviously you've got an amazing book, so there are so many different ways to kind of draw upon the resources that you offer. I just think don't sweat it alone. Do not suffer or struggle along in silence thinking every parent has broken sleep. Yes, they do, but there's only so long that you can really operate like that for, and in the long term it can be really harmful. So don't feel like you have to kind of struggle along and kind of be a martyr. Absolutely, fundamentally look at how you can get support with your sleep. It's so important. And then the next thing I would say is, particularly if you have ambition, and I always say that ambition is really personal, and again it can kind of change depending on where you are in your life, but if you have ambitions at work and you're coming back from a career break, or you are a parent and you feel this obligation of, sometimes we can feel this obligation of, do you know what, I'm really lucky to have a job, and yes we are, but because I'm so lucky to have a job, I'm just going to keep my head down and work really hard and, you know, not make a fuss. And all of those things are really admirable. But if you desire to progress, you desire to get ahead, you desire promotions and all the wonderful things that can come as a result of those things, you need to be really vocal about what it is that you want, what it is that you're good at, the value that you bring to that organization or to that team. Do not hide your light and do not hide your value because you're grateful to have a job to return to, or you're grateful to have a job in this particular economic climate. All of those things still ring true, but it doesn't mean you have to hide or dampen your ambition. I think one of the things that I hate is to see untapped potential kind of go to waste. And I think as parents especially, there is so much that we can offer to the workplace. So don't be afraid to kind of share your ambitions is another thing I would say.
Oh, I love those tips. Toby, thank you so much for sharing such wisdom and for joining me. If anyone would like to find out more about what you do, where can they find you?
Sure. At the moment, it's my Bump Pay. It may change. Watch this space. But it's just my Bump Pay on Instagram and mybumppay.com.
And your book, The Blend.
Of course, how could I forget?
How to successfully manage. Don't forget the book.
Yeah, The Blend, How to Successfully Manage a Career and a Family. You know, everything I hope and want to share with parents or people that want to go on that parenting journey, kind of blending work and family life, is in that book, as much as I've been able to kind of physically squeeze in. So I do really think it's an excellent guide, kind of broken down into different stages where you can kind of unearth lots of helpful information.
Yeah, it's really good, guys. Very practical and relatable as well. So thank you for joining me, Toby.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
I hope you've enjoyed the episode, guys. Please remember to review, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It means the absolute world to have you listening. I'll be back soon with more parenting problems, rants, and sleep information soon. Sleep well.